Hi, I'm Erica Falk. I'm the Associate Program Chair for the Master's Degree in Communication at Johns Hopkins University in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy. Welcome to this month's Great Ideas. Erica, you're the author of a book entitled Women for President, Media Bias in 8 Campaigns. This is a very timely subject, of course. What's the most important thing about this book?
Well, I looked at the press coverage of 8 separate campaigns of women who ran for president and compared them against the most equivalent man running in the same race. And this was over a period of over 130 years, so it was over time. The most striking finding was the fact that women consistently got less coverage than the equivalent man running in the same race. And what was even more surprising about it was that this didn't change over time. You would expect that a woman running in 1872, okay, she might have had less coverage than the equivalent man. But the same thing happened in 2004. And so it wasn't a matter of improving conditions, but rather 2 flat lines.
Let's talk a little bit about the equivalency issue. How exactly did you determine that a woman and a man were equivalent candidates?
Basically, I looked at vote totals if there was a primary. If there wasn't a primary, I looked at polling totals. And then I also took into account experience. So the woman had never held elected office before. I might take a man who was very close but also didn't have elected office before. So, for example, Elizabeth Dole had never been elected when she ran. Steve Forbes was the most equivalent vote getter who also had never held elected office before.
And so let's just contrast for a minute their experiences.
In that race, I looked mostly at aggregated the 8 races. That race was no different than any of the others. In general, women receive about half as many articles as men, and they're 7% longer.
Okay, so this seems to point to a serious problem, not necessarily with the candidacy of women, but with media.
Right. One of the findings of the book is the idea that we have this understanding of traditional news norms, that things that get covered are usually timely, they have a sense of conflict, they're local, and these are things that reporters can rattle off the top of their head. But one of the findings of the book is that all of these traditional news norms are mediated, they're affected by 2 things, sexism and sex roles or sex stereotypes. So all things being equal, what we find is that women are more likely to get stereotypical coverage, things we associate with women, and they get less coverage. So this idea of undervaluing women and overvaluing men mediates these traditional news norms.
So these are just a little bit of a struggle for me to understand, these 2 factors. So I wonder if you could give me a couple concrete examples to support each one of those statements.
Right. So let's say if sexism is the idea that in society we traditionally undervalue women and we overvalue men, a good example of that is that we see in professions in which women dominate, women tend to make less money than professions in which men dominate. As women enter professions which have been traditionally male, the salaries tend to go down. This is just one concrete example here. You can see the undervaluing of women in our society versus the overvaluing of men. Well, if we undervalue women and we overvalue men, given 2 equivalent candidates, we're probably going to give more press coverage to a man than a woman. That would be an example of sexism. Sex roles, on the other hand, is the idea that we associate women with particular traits, attributes, characteristics, and we associate a different set of characteristics to men. So, for example, one of the traits we have typically associated women with in our culture is the idea that their appearance is important and that they should be beautiful. What we find in press coverage of men and women is that the appearance of women is much more likely to be mentioned in press coverage of women than of men.
Right. And of course, we have a really noteworthy example of that. I remember this very well with Nancy Pelosi and the pearls. All of a sudden, those tri-colored Tahitian pearls that are gigantic. I've never seen so many pictures and so many comments about pearls in my life, and I believe that they turned into a best-selling item shortly after that.
I believe it, too. And what's interesting about that is this is not an anomaly. If you look at the press coverage of women candidates, you can find that what they wear, that they wear a violet suit or a high-heeled boots or that their hair was nicely coiffed, these are regular comments that are made in the press coverage of women candidates, and you just don't find that same level of coverage of their appearance or their attire in the coverage of men.
why not manipulate that? If women are going to get more coverage for participating in activities that are traditionally associated with women, lighting the Christmas tree, what have you, then why not manipulate that as an opportunity?
Well, I think that would probably work to get more coverage. So, for example, women have been associated with being more competent at education policy. And so you could argue that women should capitalize on that and promote education. But I actually think that might be good strategy.
So I guess one question I would have is, what would happen as reporter, okay, reporter A, what about if reporter A goes and is aware of this bias, self-aware of this bias, and attempts to cover a woman in the same way as a man? I wonder about that.
I wonder about it, too, and that's one of the reasons why I hope a lot of reporters read this book, because I have to think, for example, one of the things we found is that women are less likely to get their issues covered or their policy positions covered when compared to equivalent men. Now, if you're a reporter and you know that reporters have an unconscious bias against reporting the policy positions of women, I would think you might be able to make a conscious effort to make sure, check, policy position in the story. I would think it would help. The issue problem, I think that the compensating factor is to talk more about issues. And I think we found this, for example, in Hillary's campaign. In this last campaign, if you looked at the press coverage of Hillary, she was very, very solid on issues very, very early on with lots of substance. I think they do have to tailor their strategies to overcome this unconscious bias that goes on.
I wonder if you have any information on, is this a persistent bias that also takes place in other countries?
I haven't looked at any of these specific items in other countries, but there was a very interesting study done on the amount of coverage that international leaders get. And the way they did that study is they compared sitting women with either their immediate male predecessor or successor. And in fact, they did find that women got less coverage than the most immediate man. One of the interesting things, this is another set of research, not my own, is that women candidates themselves often come up with strategies that work to help this bias. So, for example, there was a study that looked at advertisements for women candidates, advertisements by male candidates. And they found that in the women's advertisements, the number of adjectives and self-descriptors that were traditionally male, like leader-like, bold, were very, very high. When they compared that to the same self-descriptors men used fewer. So women are describing themselves in more traditionally masculine terms than men describe themselves. But what they found in the press coverage is that the percent of male descriptors for the men was higher than for the women. So what the press did is it made women less leader-like than they described themselves, and they described men as more leader-like than they described themselves. The women were compensating. They were actually describing themselves even more, so that even though it had this drop in the press, they would still come out as more than they would have been.
How do you feel that this bias impacts on the likelihood that a woman such as Hillary Clinton will be elected as our next president?
Right. Well, here's the other side of that. There have been very, very interesting studies done at lower level races that look at and find similar biases to the ones I've found in this presidential level. And there have also been studies that show at lower level races, women win just as often as men do. That is to say, despite the bias in the press, women win as often as men do. And in fact, in the last chapter of the book, we talk about some of the polling regarding Hillary Clinton. And we found something very, very interesting, which is that if you ask this generic question, would you vote for a woman for president if she were qualified and if your party nominated one, there is a percentage of the population that will say they won't. But if you look at, for example, Democrats who answer no to that question, and then you say, in a matchup with Hillary Clinton and George Bush, for whom would you vote? The majority of them would say Hillary Clinton, because they would pick a person of their own party, even if she's a woman, before switching parties. So all the evidence suggests that despite the bias in the press, there's no reason to think that Americans are truly prejudiced against a woman running, and a woman could run and win. But I think they have to do exactly the kind of thing we're talking about, is develop a media strategy that takes into account these kinds of biases and tries to overcome them.
So it sounds like then if you had to answer, do you think it's possible for Hillary Clinton to be elected, the answer would probably be yes.
Absolutely. But one of the implications of the bias in the press that I'm so worried about is, how does it affect women's decision to run? And one of the reasons we have so few women in office is that very few women run for office. Only 8% of the candidates for Congress are women. Why is that? Well, first of all, the press describes women as less viable, less likely to win than equivalent men. So if you compare losing candidates, the press still describes the women as less likely to win than the equivalent male candidate. If you're a person who's thinking about running for office and you read a lot of press, you might conclude that you have low chances. And the press, I think, is part of perpetuating this idea that they have a harder time. The second thing, if you're going to be held up to ridicule or scrutiny about your appearance, you might be less likely to run. And if women don't get covered very often when they do run, it makes it appear as though there are less role models out there for women to see and say, I want to be like that. So a lot of the patterns in the press coverage, I think, can work to suppress women's desire to go into the political sphere and run for political office.
That's Erica Falk, author of Women for President, Media Bias in 8 Campaigns, published January 28th by University of Illinois Press. Okay, so thank you so very much for joining me.
My pleasure.